been thinking some about being able to see. I think that's very important to be able to see. Scripture in Proverbs 29 says, without a vision, people perish. It's not talking about just being able to see with the natural eye, but it's the ability to see things that can't be seen with the eye. Scripture says that the things that are seen are eternal, are temporal, but the things which can't be seen are eternal. And it is suggestive of saying that there's something beyond the vision of the eye, something to be seen. To have a vision of something is to look even beyond the current time. The what's going on now into what ought to be. To be able to see it for what it should be. And be able to strive for that. Without a vision, I believe that's true. It may have fit a certain time. I believe it fits all time. I believe without a vision, I believe the people will perish. I believe without a vision of higher things, will perish. Without a vision of more noble things, I think too often we get caught down into the ideas and thoughts of our modern world. And I know in many times in conflicts and times that I've been in and seen conflicts of different kinds and dealing with the complexity of people trying to get along with others, generally the biggest problem involved in it is that there's no vision. To be able to look at the higher, more noble purposes. So without a vision, the people perish. The Lord made us with five senses. Those senses is how we gain information about the world that's around us. It's the only way we can, through five senses. But I think of all those, of the five senses, that sight is probably the most important, the most used. It's where we gather the most information is probably through our eyes. I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but of all the senses, it's usually our eyes that we confirm the other senses. Did you ever hear a loud noise? What's a reaction of a loud noise if something was a big bang in the back of the chapel? What does everyone do? Why? They want to confirm the information. I heard it. It sounded like firecracker, book dropped. Whatever the loud noise. It could be a number of things. My hearing's not good. Most of you is better. But to be able to know exactly what that was sometimes eludes us because we're not that keen on it. And so what do? We look. We look to confirm what it was, to get information, to draw information from it. How many times have you smelt something? And what do you do generally? What is that that I just smelt? You try to find it. Rarely do you listen for it. Sometimes you would, but generally you look to, what is that? Some years ago, there was a foul odor started in our bedroom. And I know what it smelled like. It smelled like a mouse that had died. That's what it smelled like. I knew it was somewhere around, and I used my nose as best I could to try to find it, and I'd sniff and I'd look under the bed and I couldn't find it. And a day later, whew, that's bad. It's getting bad. And I'd try to find it and around. Finally, I made it close enough to the closet. I knew it was in there. Now, I want you to imagine getting in there and cleaning that out just by smell. But I confirmed it in a little bit, got back there and dug out some boxes and looked. You know what it was? It was a mouse. And I was able to take care of it. I confirmed the other senses by the sight. It's very important to be able to see. You ever be eating something and all of a sudden the flavor wasn't what you was eating? Well, maybe you swallowed it. Depends on where you was at. But I know what I do a lot of times. I pull it out to see what I'm eating. And I do it by looking at it. Oh, that's what's in there. So the senses are confirmed by sight. Sight's very important. To be able to see, feeling, touch. I had one of my children, well, my oldest daughter was with me one time when she was just a baby. She was a year old or something. We was going to a meeting. It was just me and her. She was in her car seat, and I was driving along, and I saw a possum run across. Well, old possum, but we call him possum. A possum run across the road. And I'm not afraid of most anything like that. I've tackled it, caught it, most anything. And I've caught possums by the tail too. But I'm going to tell you, I don't like them. There's something that just, they're disgusting. I just don't like a possum. They're dirty and they eat dirty stuff, and they're just something I've not been real fond of. And one run across the road, and I thought, oh, there's that old possum. And it wasn't just but a minute or so. I was driving, and I put my hand over on the seat, and I put my hand on something furry when I put it on the seat. Now, I know there was no way for that possum to get in that vehicle like that, but that was on my mind, and when I put it there, I instantly cringed, saw what, and looked, and it was a doll baby that had a little fuzzy head on it. But I confirmed what I felt, because it felt like a possum. Because my mind had just saw one, oh, and I confirmed that by my sight. Because sight is very important to us today. To have the ability to see and to understand the things that are around us in our world, we take in information, and by the most time, I mean, we take in a lot of information by hearing. You're listening to me today, and you're taking in that information, but I'm saying, if you'll notice today, you'll notice that by seeing me, you're taking in a lot more detailed information by my hand motions, my facial expressions. I can say things to you by words that you don't totally understand unless you saw my face. Because it is given out that way through what we see, and we understand better that way by being able to do that. And so vision is a very important part of our lives. And the Bible uses it, the Lord used it, to give to us an understanding when He talks about having eyes to see. There is never a man so blind as him that will not see. To people that will not see true things, they're the blindest of all. Not able to see because they don't want to. There's a blindness of heart. A blindness of desire that people can get. And I think today that if, Lord help us, that we would be able to start in this, our day, to have a greater vision. I believe it would help us so much to be able to look beyond the circumstances that is happening that we can see, and be able to see them in the spiritual realms of what's going on. You remember where Peter rebuked the Lord? And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He was looking beyond just Peter. He was looking at the whole scope of it. He saw perfectly into that world. He saw it without shade or shadow. He knew what was going on. He knew what was trying to be accomplished, and he put an end to it. Stopped it. We're not going there. Because I see it. I see this. So we have the opportunity in our day to be able to face our conflicts, the things that happen into our life, with purpose and reason, to be able to look beyond just what's happening right now. And I know we have the privilege of praying for the things that happen in our world and that's around us. 911. is just a date. But it becomes more than a date to us now, doesn't it? You can't say 911 without knowing what I'm talking about. A simple date. But we know what it means, don't we? When that happened, something happened to people too. Something happened to people. They was people starting to think about God that never thought about God. There was things that people... We was happened to be at that point in time, we was doing some tent work, and I was out and talking to people, and I happened to know that there was something that started happening to people. There was people started saying that it was right for the president to call for prayer, the ones that criticized him. They expected then the prayer of the Senate and those kind of things, and God help us, they was saying, and these kind of things, this is a tragedy. Lord, help us to be able to have a vision beyond the things that just see and happen in our world, but to look beyond that. Have you ever had anyone that just seemed like they didn't like you? Ever been just riled up real good? You ever have somebody come against you, conflict against you? Some of my biggest struggle was people that was God was dealing with. Had them all miserable. And they was trying to deal with changing things in their life and how to deal with eternal things. And they got grumpy and contrary and ornery, and devil was taking advantage of things. And here I'm right there in the middle of it. Going to have some vision. Going to have to be able to see beyond the circumstances. Well, somebody just said something bad about me. Well, now let's all get stirred up about that. You got talked about. And that's a bad thing. So we'll have to have a conference and try to deal with all this thing. What we need is some vision. Lord, help us to have some spiritual vision above that, confirming the workings of the Lord through vision, being able to see it, being able to see what's going on, conflicts and congregations. I'm going to tell you what needs to happen in conflicts and congregations. There needs to be a vision of the church, a vision of what it really means. Have you ever sat around and considered the church of God? I'm not talking about church among churches. I'm talking about what Jesus come to do in people's lives. Have you ever measured the situation to what the vision that you have? I'm not talking about everybody else's role. I'm talking about your role. I'm talking about my role in it. Measuring that to what God come to do. And when I look at that and get that vision of it, this is what he came to do. He built a way over there in Isaiah. Remember when I talked about a highway. Oh, this was something that's lifted up and above this world. We look down on the world and the way the world does it, not looking down as we're better, but looking down because God done something. God made a way of life that's above the way the world does it. It's altogether different way of dealing with the things that are around us. This is God's way, and it's above human ways. It's above all ways. It's got the ability to have grace to endure wrong for the gospel, for better things. Everyone in the scripture that was successful did it. Jesus did it. 12th chapter of Hebrews talks about Jesus and what he had done, the author of our salvation. What did he do for the joy that was set before him? He did what? He endured. He endured it for a vision of better things, for the ability to witness Christ to the world. What's going to happen? All these things that happen to everybody in the world, they happen to us too, and purposes and reasons and times and seasons for things of God's purposes. And if we ain't careful, we go right through and never see any of it. And the whole opportunity is lost. We don't even have the opportunity to do it. Have you ever lost an opportunity, had an opportunity, you wish you could go back and do it again? Remember one time we went to, a couple of us went to visit an elderly sister that was in the hospital shortly before she died. We went to visit her, and we had a real good time. It was our purpose to go there and visit her. We did. We was able to have a good visit with her. Talked a lot about the Lord and had prayer with her, and it seemed like such a good day to be able to do that. It was in the hospital at Parkersburg. We left her room As we walked out, I looked into an adjacent room, and I saw a woman standing there, and she purposely seemed to make eye contact with me and never said a word, but with pleading eyes. I still remember the pleading of her countenance. As I walked away and just kind of made it some kind of a high type thing and walked away, and the further I walked, the further something was. And I'll be honest with you, I lost an opportunity. I wish I would at least have said, "Ma'am, can we help you?" Because her face said, "Please help me." I still have it ingrained in my mind today. Never met her, don't know her. But an opportunity was there. I believe, I know, I believe I've seen the circumstance. I believe the Lord allowed me to see the circumstance of a woman that was pleading probably for her mother. An elderly person was in that room, I know. I saw enough to know that. There was something pleading about that point. I wonder how many things you and I, if we're not careful, never see. Never see the purpose or the cause. I don't want to see our country fall. I don't want to see the unemployment go up anymore. I don't want to see heartache and misery. But I want to see people saved. I don't want to see the Gulf messed up and fishing people. I don't want to see that kind of stuff, and you don't either. But I want to be able to see higher purposes of God's work too. I want to be able to see when that you can go in and help and what you can do with them. Don't you? To be in a place to be able to help people is what we're here for. To be able to see beyond our selfish worlds, our independent ways and all of that, to be able to reach into other people's lives through the opportunities made by God into their lives. So Lord, help us be able to do it. The scripture says, blind leaders of the blind. They'll all fall in the ditch. They'll all fall in the ditch. I had an opportunity one time, something happened. And I had thought and meditated on this thing, and I finally determined this is what I'm going to do. This is what's right. This is what be the best way to do it. And this is what I'm going to do. Then the Lord challenged me. Come talking to me. This is the way the Lord said to me. I love to read about faithful people. Oh, George Mueller was just... I read about George Mueller a number of times. It was always inspiring to me, someone that had that kind of faith. Hudson Taylor and his faith to go to China and the way the Lord dealt with him. Those kind of things always just inspired me. I like the past testimonies. Brother Salmon's From Darkness to Light. What was the other one? Life's Golden Gleanings and Lest We Forget. I just love the testimonies of faithful people. And the Lord challenged me. If you're writing a book about this circumstance, how would you write it? And as I began to think about how I'd write it to give the ultimate glory to God, that people would be inspired, encouraged, I had to erase my whole notion. I had me so much in it, it seemed so right. It seemed the way to do it until it come to me that way, and I thought, I wouldn't want to try to encourage somebody spiritually with that. I had to back up and rewrite it, and the scripture says, blind, leaders of the blind, they both fall in the ditch. That's where they end up at. So I want, by the help of the Lord, this was my burden today, that the Lord would help you and I be leaders of the blind. We got a whole world full of blind people. And they're going to look to try to find something. Who's going to give them the higher, the more noble, the better? A lot of married people here. I'm married. Marriage can be a challenge. Every one of us need a vision, marriage. Of something that God created and the fullness of what God created it to be. It was made to be the fulfilling element of a man and a woman's life. on this earth. God made it to be that, and it's exactly what it is. But how many can testify to it? I remember not long, it's been some years ago, sitting in a place where there was a number of sisters, and they all had bad marriages. And I come in, and the conversation was bad marriages. And me being the ornery type that I am, started telling the beauty of marriage. I had a vision. Not only I had a vision, but I had sought that to make it a reality in my life by the grace of God. You need a vision of what God really meant it to be. Unselfish, giving, loving, supporting one another. My wife is my best friend. She's my confidant. You know what I mean? I got a vision of what God intended this relationship to be. You need one too. What about family? Got a vision of what a godly family is? You need one. You need to see it as God made it and intended it to be. Then to match every action you do to that vision that God give you. Because I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more blessed in this world than a family. God made it and intended to run the world by the family unit. The marriage is so important that God used it as an example of Him and His church. That is how that He patterned it after the relationship of Christ. And when the apostle was writing about it and the mystery of it, he said it was a mystery. But I write to you concerning Christ and His church. It's so close. And then out of that union, I'm going to tell you, the world needs this, but they need to be able to see somebody doing it. They need somebody to be able to lead them. Can't lead them if you don't have it. You'll both end up in the ditch. But if you have this, You lead without speaking. You lead because it's there. You lead because you do it in your community and in the store, and you do it wherever you go. You just live it and you lead by a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. They lose their directions. They don't know where they're at. Out of the union of holy matrimony and the union of a man and a woman, in the likeness of Christ and His church, comes forth children. And like the likeness. The likeness is that there's children born to it. And out of that then comes the idea of what a family unit is, and that represents the church. Deep, deep love belongs in families. Blood is thick. Now, me and my brother grew up, and we fought. And I never could understand the dynamics that made it work this way. But we probably fought more than any of my friends did. Me and my friends, or people around me. And my brother was, I mean, there was a rift there. But you let one of them pick on me. He would take up for me, and I used to scratch my head and think, I have a lot more trouble with you than I did him. But that's a family. There's something in the family unit of it. We need a vision. I want to look at a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15. It says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. The exhortation here is to follow that which is good. Do you know what good is? We live in a world that don't even know what good is. Trying to define good to the world. Tolerance is good, isn't it? Yeah, it's good to be tolerant, sure. But the world has an idea of tolerance that you and I don't accept. We don't accept the tolerance that the world talks about. Because they're tolerant with evil. They're tolerant with things that are bad. You come along and as a group like this, and to say that what they're calling an alternative lifestyle is not acceptable, we're considered evil for that. Start defining good, but the Bible says to follow that which is good. So we're going to be leading people into that which is good. Things that's going to hold up, stand up to the test of time. The world's got it wrong. And there needs to be people with a vision above it, beyond it. The world has messed up the identity of the genders. It has made it until it's not definable. And I'm going to say today, we need a vision. Because it attacks us continually at our goodness. That hurts us. It tries to, because we want to be good. We want to follow that which is good. And so if we're not careful, we'll be tempted to allow into things to try to be good. But we need God defining good. Follow that which is good. God created them, male and female created He them. He made a distinct difference between the two. I want to start with manhood. Do you know what it means to be a man? Well, you say, we heard about it the other day. It means to be Marine, like Brother Gordon was, and have muscles and be trained and be able to fight and defend. There's a certain amount of that that's truth of what a man is. But that's not a good definition of man. The Bible says, quit ye like men. Put an element in there, didn't it? Men's to have resolve about good. If a real man of God is somebody that will be resolved to do it right no matter what punishment they have to take to do it. The idea of being a man and doing what a man does and quit you like men means that if you have to get blisters on your hands, you get blisters on your hands. Whatever it takes to finish the job, to complete it and get it done and make it work and do it right is what a man will do. It's what he's got to do. A man stands up and takes the responsibility of what he's done and what he's doing, and he stands as a shield to his wife. He's the man. You know, our world about lost manhood, they really have, I mean, a true definition of it. They take it to one side, and to be a man, you have to be this macho creature that is puffed up two sizes bigger than his shirt will allow, and he goes, that's a man. Then on the other side of it, it goes all the way off to the effeminate. Lost the art, the scripture says to follow that which is good. God, you know it's important, folks, today that you and I believe that God created all that's created. You know, that's a very important concept that the world's trying to diminish. You know why it's important? Because all that God did was good. And the things that He set and the natures that He made in all things are right. And when you and I go in and try to disturb the things that God did that He said was good, we're not following good anymore. And it's important for you and I to realize is that when things go out of the normal, out of the creation of God, God made it all good and man made many inventions. Man has been coming up with all kind of ways to try to do to get away and do away with God, but the ultimate of it is that God did it right. And it continues to be right and forever will be right. God made man and woman, male and female, He made them that way. He gave them distinct differences and ways, and He made them different for a reason. Then it cannot be changed. And we need to follow what God made good. We need a vision in our day to be able to see what is good and maintain that which is good. It is right that we still hold the values that we've always held that makes a distinct difference between us. Because it's right. And because it's good. And then there's womanhood. Oh, what an attack has been on womanhood. I remember my wife saying that when she was asked in grade school, I think it was, what she wanted to be. And she said, a housewife and a mother. The teacher tried to talk her out of it. That's demeaning. It's demeaning. You're just falling into the same old pattern and groove that's men thinking. That's man. That's a man wanting you to do that. That's a man. You've got to blossom out of that. This is a modern world, and women can follow their dreams. Follow their dreams. Well, I'll tell you what most women want. What God put in them. It's where you'll be the most happiest at. I read a thing, probably somebody mentioned something about Elvis Presley. I think Sister Mary did last night. Anybody ever heard of Elvis? Elvis Presley died in what, 78? He'd been gone a long time for everybody to still know who he is. Marilyn Monroe died what, in the 60s? Anybody ever heard of Marilyn Monroe? You know, I read a thing about her. You know what she said one time? All that she ever really wanted. She just wanted to be a mother and a wife. Down deep inside, a very twisted, perverted life was a little girl at heart that just wanted what God created her to be. That's where you'll be happiest too. Follow that which is good. Get a vision of what's good and right and wholesome and honorable. Things that God made. He made it to be right. Because we're leading a world, folks, whether you like it or not. Do you think you have any influence today? Do you think you have any? You have more influence today than you know. What titles do you have? Let's say that. What titles do you have? I'll mention a few titles. I'm a man. That's a title. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a neighbor. I'm a friend. You can keep on. What's your titles? Every one of those titles hold responsibility and influence. Every one of them. To show to the world, it shows something of who you are. What's your titles? Child? Teenager? Are you a boss? Are you an employee? All your titles hold some kind of influence to somebody somewhere. How do you do your work? Makes a difference, don't it? I'm going to tell you, it does make a difference how you do things. Blind, leaders of the blind. Lord, help us to have a vision to lead on with. It made a difference in my life. I remember one time being on the job. We was doing surveying, and the boss had told that we put these little stations down and we had pieces of flagging on them. And the deer liked the flagging. For some reason, the deer liked to come and they'd tug on that flag and pull the station up. So the requirement was, as the boss said, you had to get a rock and cover it up with a rock so a deer couldn't find it. Well, there was a certain station and I looked all over the side of that hillside and I couldn't find a rock. I was looking around, couldn't find a rock. And finally I found a rock on there. And it was on a pretty steep hillside, and so I went to cover the station up, and instead of just laying it down on it, I just kind of flipped it so it would fall there, and that rock, it hit, and then it went. And I watched it kind of, and right down the hill, and I watched it go away down through there, and I said, I'm not putting no rock on there. I'm not looking around for another one, and I took off. And I got a little ways around the hill, and you know what come right into my mind? It's an amazing thing. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as unto the Lord. That scripture actually just popped right into my head. And then I turned around and went and searched for me a rock to put on there because God's watching. You know, we lead, and Lord help us, I don't want this to sound critical, but so often we act like God ain't watching. So often we deal with those that are around us at times and places like there's no heaven or hell. There's no God in heaven. There's nothing really very important. But Lord help you and I to have a vision today. If you got children today, you got a responsibility that's awesome. And without a vision, the people perish. And without a vision, I'm going to tell you what you do. Without a vision, this is what you do. You say things that damages those children's eternal perspective without a vision. You'll badmouth the church without a vision. You'll badmouth the church and the circumstances that's happening. You'll badmouth people in responsive and places without a vision. And without thought of its fruit, you'll do things in leading people to the ditch. Because if you don't see, you'll fall in the ditch. You never know the force of our influence in this life. And what we say and do influences those that are around us of the opinion that we have. Best that I can look within myself, and God knows, I owe a good portion of my being saved to my mother who has never been saved. And my vision of the church and the value that I have to my mother who never came here. And I'll tell you why. Because my grandmother was a saint. And my grandmother was ridiculed for it. Looked at as being funny. She was very different than anybody I knew around. But my mother said something that was profound to me as, you know, to a little boy, mom and dad's right. They really hold an enormous amount of sway to you. I can remember my mom just simply saying, I don't go to church, but if I did, I would go with your Grandma Irma because she lives what she believes. You know, as a little boy, made a huge difference. If my mother would have run her down as Finette and all these, it's hard to tell what my opinion could have been of it. But that ingraining of a simple thought of the value, if that being true, and I believe that it is, don't you? How much more important is it for you and I to reveal our vision in every matter? When things look like they're being taught, oh no! Let me tell you the higher purpose. Let me see the more noble, the more honorable. Let me show you where God is deepening us, strengthening us, building us, lifting us up. With a vision, you can do that. With a vision, you can steady your children in a turmoil, in a world that's crawling around. And look and say, all the nation, all the worry, the heartache. Look at what's going on in our country and our nation. And it's going down. And you could also say, we serve a God. We serve a God that's never failed or faltered. We serve a God that we still live in somewhat of a free country, don't we? Tell me what was free about Daniel's world. Anybody want to take a stab at what was free in his world? He was under a king, wasn't he? He was under an absolute ruler. The scripture said of Nebuchadnezzar that he could tell them to go and they went. He could say their life was in his hand. He could do whatever he wanted. And there was old Daniel right up there, blessed of God, right in the middle of it. With a vision, you and I will see it in our world too. I see a God that's able to take you and I faithfully through this world. He done it to the martyrs. He done it to those that went in the most terrible times. Guess who was in the midst of it every time? Three Hebrew children, what was free about their world? You mean that you can't go and complain about the kingdom, about the rulers? I mean, we got freedom of speech. What happened to freedom of speech? You can't make these three Hebrew bow down to this image. They can ridicule that if they want to. Freedom of speech. What a freedom of speech. But there's still God in the flames. There was still God in the fire. He still read it. Do you see that today? Amen. Do you still see the church of God? I'm going to tell you, I thank God that He gave me a vision a long time ago of a church of God. You know what? People act up. I've been amazed at sometimes how people act up. So if people act up, the church is not the church anymore. And it's not bothered my vision any. Still got a vision of just exactly what the Lord came to do and what He's done. And it's still here, folks. Amen. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And I do desire your prayers because I don't want to lose opportunities. I remember on a number of occasions, one particular, and I'll confess my fault. We have some 70 miles away, we have a cabin up in the mountains. My dad built it over there. And people like to go and stay there. Different times, different ones would go there. And I was going to go over there one time. Been preaching. Been doing what I do. And going to go over there. And I had some family over there. And I was going to go over there and just relax. Going to do those kind of things. You know what I mean? Went over there. I can remember thinking of how different I am. And how just kind of went in there to kind of joke with the guys, have a good lighthearted time. And I did. Right before I left, one of my cousins, I didn't think he ever even thought about God. Before I left, he come out, caught me before I left and said, "Marty's wanting to talk to you." He showed me a Bible he got. He said, "I got me a Bible. And I've been reading it. And I want you to tell me what you think about it." Wasn't the King James Version. He said, I want you to tell me what you think about it." I felt about that big. I didn't see it. I didn't see a soul in trouble. I didn't see a man longing and yearning for better things in his life than he had. I missed an opportunity. A couple of days of being there and I'm about to go and he waited all that time. You know how it is. Blind leaders of the blind. Oh, he can do that. He can do this. I guess I can too. This is the way you do it. Is that the way we lead into the things of God? This is the way He does. I guess I'll do it that way too. Be followers. That which is good. We don't have anything to be ashamed of, folks. We don't have anything to be ashamed of. We've got the best thing that the Lord ever could have made. And He brought it to us. Lord, help us to have a vision. To be able to see. You know what sight does for you that your other senses, well, hearing to some degree and to some degree smelling. But you know what sight does for you? It gives you an instantaneous, distant information. See, what's close to me. But you know, as far off as my eye can reach, I can gain information into the distant. I can get information. A vision is something that is futuristic. I mean, it's something that's beyond. God don't show us the future, but by a vision, to see what it is, what it's supposed to be, what it's supposed to be like, to know. Have you ever give up on somebody in their soul? Have you ever felt tempted to just say, "I'm through"? Without a vision, you'll do it before you ever should. Maybe you never should. But without a vision, it's so easy to say, "I can't take that foul mouth." I'm glad the Lord didn't say that to me about my foul mouth. You know, without a vision, But I'm going to tell you what a vision will do for you. And many, many times the Lord has helped me to see a person through His eyes. Through what He could do with a poor, poor lost soul. And look at that and say, I'm so disgusted. But you don't know how close that person is to the kingdom. You just don't know without a vision to be able to see what God can do. I want to tell you, God can make something out of them. God can make something out of them. We had a real example up home. You all knew him. He's down here. Some of you did. Brother Jim White. Looking at Brother Jim's life, there would have been times in his life, in my nature, that I would have said, there is no hope for him. Brother Jim testified himself that as a young man, he went to war. He had a wife and a little child, and he went to war. He went to Europe. He was hit with shrapnel, so he was wounded. He saw dead men around him. What would you do to make a friendship? Go through hard things with people. Boot camp, parachute school, jump together, live together, close together. What would you do when you saw your buddy blow up beside you? What would you do? Would you sit down and cry? Bullets are flying all around. You ain't got time. You're not made that. That's not the way they make you. They make you harden. You harden. If you're going to survive your emotions, you've got to do something with your emotions. You've got to. Brother Jim did. Brother Jim learned how to be a soldier. He learned how to see death all around him. He learned to not care for life. He told me that. But one day they shipped some men home. They shipped them home. War was over. He told me that when he got home, he said he had no more feelings for his wife and child that he hadn't seen in years than he did for any common person on the street. He said he was hardened. He said he tried, but he didn't know how. He didn't know how to do it. You know, we have a whole world full of people that don't know how. We don't know how. And I'm going to tell you, there was times that he told me of his life that I'd have said, Brother Jim, was that you? Brother Marty, I had an awful temper. I seen a man that had an absolutely gentleness about him that I desired. Brother Jim was a gentle man. And every time a song was sung about gentleness, Brother Jim would hang his head and say, Lord, help me. He would. And there would be messages on gentleness and stuff, and he'd go to the altar and have somebody pray with him, pray that I'd be a gentle person. Because he knew what he was at one time. And there would have been a time that I said, Brother Jim, I couldn't believe it was you. I'd have gave up on you. But the Lord didn't give up on him. Because the Lord knew what it was, what he could be. That's what he saw. He saw what he could be. If we don't have a vision of what God really does, we'll never see beyond them. We'll never see beyond the faults and the sins that they have in life and what God can do for them. Jesus went to the land of the Gadarenes that he talked about. And there was a man there that was naked in the tombs and full of spirits. But the Lord had vision beyond the circumstances. People didn't have it. All they could see is, like Sister Mary said, keep your children away from him. Keep everybody away from him. He's a dangerous man. But vision went beyond it. The Lord could see. What would you have done with him? I know there's always wisdom, but Lord, help us in our outreach efforts, in our desire for the souls of the people that are around us, our children when they don't act right, our neighbors when there's difficulties. Lord, help us to see the higher, the more noble, the better. See what it can be if I lead true. And if it never happens in this life, I'm going to tell you, we're desperate that it happens for the next, because if those that I love come down to the last, as the scripture talks about the one that was waited to the last hour to be hired and was hired at the last, and he got his reward, his penny. That's what we want. That's what we're after. That I can have a vision. Do you know, I think sometimes that we don't really believe in the power of the grace of God. I think our vision is so short of what it really can do for a person that yields himself to it. I'm going to tell you what, God can clean a person's life up. Lord, help us to have vision. Lord, help me to see myself in the circumstances of my life when difficulties come. Lord, help me to have a vision of what I'm supposed to do in it. Ask the Lord, Lord, give me the vision of the way you see things around. There are so many places that you can say in the Bible. Think about it. Looking on the outward purposes, the outward appearances of things and people. But the Lord said, I look on the heart. David didn't look like no king. You're going to have vision, folks, to get a king out of this man. It's a little old ruddy boy. He'd never done anything or accomplished anything, and the Lord looked down and said, here's somebody that loves me and follows me and wants me more than anybody else around. I'll make a king out of him. I'm going to tell you what he did. He made a king out of him. Time he ever got on the throne, he was a king made. He was somebody that went through it and had the position to be the king then. Lord, help us today to have a vision of all that's around us. You say, well, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing in life? You need a vision. You need a vision of what you're supposed to be doing. Lord, give me a vision. I'm going to tell it real quick, but it's monumental to me. Might not mean anything to you, but it meant a lot to me. Just the way the Lord dealt with me. Come a time that the Lord started dealing with me about kind of in message form, kind of studies type. I wasn't doing them, but I'd be driving along, going to work, and boy, this stuff would start coming. And Brother Tony said at the barbershop one day, said, Brother Marty, we're needing a Sunday school teacher. Ooh. I said, Brother Tony, I am willing to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. And he said, are you? And I said, yes. You know how you say things and wish you hadn't? It's kind of like that. About 2 weeks later, Brother Tony called up on a Sunday morning and said, Brother Marty, did you know Dad's out of town? You know, the Lord had been dealing with me all the day before about a Sunday school lesson. All day, just burning on me. And got there and he said, you think you could do Sunday school? And I said, as a matter of fact, Lord, give me a lesson. You know, I'm so thankful that the Lord dealt with me that way. He confirmed it. He confirmed it. It's just like looking with new eyes. We confirm it. Yes. The vision confirms what I just heard. It's just the way it's supposed to be. This vision. After a couple years of that, well, several years of that, my sister used to say, Marty, you're getting preachy in your Sunday school. One Sunday night, Brother Tony was preaching, and he preached this message, who's the man that's in the gap, you know, stand in the gap, that kind of message. And I was there, and I started looking around the congregation. Oh, where's Brother Keith? No, I don't fit Brother Keith. I kept trying to fit that message to everybody in there. And it kept coming back, and it fit me. It fit me. And I don't know if Brother Tony was even thinking. I'm not even saying he was thinking anything, but the Lord was on me. It wasn't long after that I had a dream, a night dream. And I don't put a lot. You know you have dreams. I know it could be something you eat, or, I mean, you could just be up. I mean, dreams happen. This dream was real to me. The Lord used this dream. But I had a dream that I was looking down on this great dam made of brick. And the saints was down there. Nobody in particular, but just the saints was down there. And it was springing leaks in the dam. And as I was looking, I was thinking, this is going to break loose. It's getting more and more. And they was frantic going around trying to stop it, and it wouldn't stop. And then somebody looked up and saw me and said, there's Brother Marty. He can stop it. And in my dream, I felt exactly like I did at that service that night. No, it's not me. There's somebody else that can do this, but it's not me. It's somebody else. And I felt so humbled at that message, and I felt so humbled in my dream that somebody would think that I could do that. But they kept saying, Brother Marty, you got to do it. And I went down, and I would just come by and go like this, and the water would stop. And I woke up from that very humbled. And I told the Lord, Lord, if I can do anything to stop the tide of the world. If I can do anything to hold the thing back, by your grace, Lord, I'll do it. I'm going to tell you, and I ain't complaining. I'm just simply said, the fleshly desire is not the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Some of these trips, that's the way it works. And it ain't always easy to do it without a vision. You got to have a vision to a purpose of what you're doing and what God's doing and what He's trying to accomplish. That's bigger than, it's bigger than me. I'm going to come and go, folks. But the influence of our lives will remain. It'll go generational. Somebody said recently that what parents do in moderation, children do it in excess. So Lord, help us to have a vision that it forms our words for us. I'm not going to run you down in front of my children, because you'll minister to them one day. I'm not going to run the church down, because it's our hope. I'm not going to be less in my marriage that I can show my children that less is the right thing. I'm going to do what I need to do. And I need a vision to do it. Lord, help you and I, as the Scripture said in Revelations, I counsel to thee, buy of me gold tried. He went on to say, in the same words, I counsel to thee, buy eye salve. Because you're blind. You don't see anything past the end of your own nose. You don't see the purposes, the desires. You ever had the opportunity to deal with somebody that's carnal? I remember having a meeting one time, and so the people wasn't even claiming to be saved. It was kind of a dealing with problems type session. And I'd been used to dealing just with spiritual people, and things come up, and it was an idea about, I'm telling you, I really was in for a shocker. I come away saying, oh, Lord, help us and carnality. There is just no way to deal with it. Lord, give us today a vision of your purposes in this life. Would you be willing to take a good old-fashioned flogging if somebody would be saved? Because there's people that did. And you know what? There was nowhere in that text that they ever complained or murmured about their lot in God. They accepted it as providence in all of our life's providence. What is it that God isn't in control of? You got an answer for? Is there something that you can say God doesn't control in your life? There were some men that was so in tune, they had vision beyond themselves. They realized the purpose. Their eyes was on Christ who suffered, folks. Greater vision. Though it was looked on it and said, what sense does it make that the Son of God be killed? No, he's supposed to be put up on a throne and made king and all these things. But the Lord knew what the vision was. He had to die for our sins. And when Paul and Silas had the vision of what he done, they was willing to do it too. Yeah, you laid the stripes on there. And they imprisoned him and they went shouting and singing, thank God that we be counted worthy to suffer stripes for the Lord, a higher purpose and cause, and his old jailer's there, and his old house gets saved, and the work of God's done, and I see it. I see it. You and I ain't careful, we'll murmur and complain about, we'll pray, Lord, save my family. Lord, save my neighbor. Save him around, and the very things that the Lord brings on us or allows in our lives to show the glory of God, we won't accept it. And we don't accept it because we can't see it. So Lord, help us to have a vision today. You pray for me.